Today is Wednesday, May 23rd. This is the women's Chumashir. We're up to Bereshit, Perek Tet Zion, Pasuk Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Gimel.
Okay, Rabotai. We are in the middle of Parshat Lech Lecha, Perek Tet Zion. Perek Tet Zion. And I want to begin by filling in with the comments of a couple of Parshanim we didn't get a chance to engage in last week. The topic here at hand is Hagar having been sent away by Sarah, and a Malach approaches her and tells her to return to be enslaved once again by Sarai. But the carrot at the end of the stick is that you will get pregnant, you'll have a child, you're going to name that child Yishmael. If you remember, Rashi made a comment as to why the word Vayomer is repeated four times in four consecutive statements, when it could have said Vayomer once, and we know that the angel of God is talking to Hagar, why Vayomer? So Rashi said that for each Amirah, there was a different Malach. And we question why it was necessary, and so on and so forth. However, let's begin today with looking on page number 25, that's Torres' number, hit another home run last night. Two the night before. And he has seven home runs in 26 games. We'll start with a comment of the Radak. The Radak says, on Pasuk Tet, Vayomer, Omar Shalosh Pa'amim Vayomer. It says some form of speaking, Vayomer, 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 three times. Bamesh Amarla, in the context of him, the angel speaking to her, says to Radak very simply, Kichein hu minhag hakatuv bimikomot. This is the style of Tanakh, of the Torah text and the Nevi'im text, that if you want to emphasize something, you repeat a phrase, a word, on multiple occasions. V'chein uba kein lichazek ha-ma'amar, k'mo shekatavnu rabim mehem b'sefer michlal b'chelek ha-dikduk mimenu. As I've indicated many times in Tanakh, that if you want to highlight the significance of something, you just repeat a key word on multiple occasions. And here, a key word is that an angel is speaking to Hagar. And then he says, V'yitachein, Shelefi she'amar lo shlosha inyanim, Amar vayomer al kol ha'inyan. Since he actually said three different things, it says Vayomer three times. Not very compelling. And he knows it himself. But now he quotes the drash that Rashi did, and he makes a comment on it. V'yesh drash, ki shlosha malachim shalach lohael. God sent three angels to her, zeh achar zeh, one following the other. It wasn't that they all three lined up as they did when it says in Parshas Vayera, V'hinei shlosha anashim nitzavim alav. No, that's not what it says here. It's one coming, dismissing himself. Second angel comes, gives the message, leaves. And now he makes a comment. Uma shifachot ha'avot Nigle Hamalach Gimel V'Dalit Pa'amim. If God, through His angel, has revealed Himself three or four times, to whom? A maid servant of one of the Avot, Vilanu Afilo Achat. And to me, or all of us, never once. Never once. And he's somehow a little jealous of Hagar, is Mr. Radak. Why is it that somebody who is not the greatest heroine in the world, and she gets to hear the word of God directly from God three times or four times, and us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't bother talking to him or her? So he makes that particular point.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to take, if you were in shul on Shavuot, when Professor Reinhold spoke, he was talking about, it's part of the series about the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, and he focused on the Rambam's perception of what prophecy is, and how virtually every other Jewish philosopher, led by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, disagreed with him completely. But if that's the case, you'll hear what I say, you'll see why Radak is even more puzzled, based, if he, I'm sure he knew Rambam's perspective, but Rambam writes that Nivu'ah is something like a radio. A radio. So, when there are airwaves that are beaming across this world, and when you turn on your radio, you pick up the radio waves. Very nice. And a nivuah, says the Rambam, is that a person has to work very, very diligently to raise themselves to a state of moral and ethical perfection. And then when you become such a highly qualified individual, it's as if you have a radio which you turn on and you hear God's words, which are constantly being emitted on a regular basis. And the problem is, if you don't have a radio, you can't hear the radio waves. Well, if you have not elevated and perfected yourself to a level of perfection, of ethical, moral, religious perfection, then you don't have a radio. You can't hear those airwaves, God's airwaves. So, and that's the difference between a Navi and everybody else. And the highest level of Nevuah, of course, was Moshe Rabbeinu, where he was able to pick up these airwaves on a regular basis. It's as if his radio was always in tune to hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though there are times when God did not allow Moshe to receive those airwaves. 38 and a half years during the desert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said nothing to Moshe Rabbeinu whatsoever. Zero. So if you use that imagery of what prophecy is all about, you understand exactly why Radak is perplexed. How would Hagar, a maidservant in Avram's household, have reached the type of level that is required in order to hear the word of God? How is it humanly possible? And the angel, we believe, is simply communication of the word of God, nothing else. So he somehow bemoans this fact and says that, you know, I'm a little surprised that I, or you, or me, have not been able to hear any of God's messages, and he's a little upset about it. So that's what he says. Let's continue with the text. We're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph.
So are we to assume that Hagar did this?
Yes, that's what it says in the text, in the Chumash. A Malach is talking to her like I am talking to you.
So So that means she did perfection.
She, according to Rambam at least, no human being can attain power of prophecy unless you have attained such a level, and then you automatically hear these words that are being transmitted by God on a regular basis. God is always broadcasting. Only question, he's broadcasting today as well. We just don't have a radio to hear. It's a strange, but that's what Rambam writes. Yes, so it's in the dream, that's where they hear it. That's correct. Yes.
But is
she
considered too crowded nowadays?
Yeah.
Is she considered a prophetess after this by Rambam?
Yes. She has elevated herself to the level of a Nevi'ah. Yes. Yeah, so now we are told, Vayomelo Malach Hashem Harbe Abem Yisrael, Vayomelo in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hinach Hara Violadet Bain, Vikarat Shemo Yishmael, Ki Shama Hashem Elonyech. So we mention two possibilities about the statement that the Malach tells Hagar, you are pregnant. Either that she's becoming pregnant now, because although she knew that she was pregnant, the Torah tells us she was pregnant, but she lost the baby, and now she's coming pregnant a second time, or she never was pregnant, because the Torah doesn't actually tell us that she was pregnant. It was the Midrash reading into Hagar's mindset. How did she torture Sarai? By saying, you're living with him for how many years? You still don't have a child. I get together with him for one night and I'm pregnant already. So that is the Medrash. According to some Parshanim, don't believe the Medrash. And that's not what's happening in the text. He is telling her for the very first time, you are going to become pregnant. A third possibility is that the text is just reminding us of what? Of what we heard before. So Hagar was pregnant, and now the Malach confirms not only for Hagar, but for us as well, that you don't have to read Rashi and the Medrash to tell us that she is pregnant or got pregnant. Who's telling us that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the editor of the Torah, is telling us, I'm telling you that you are pregnant through the Malach. So there are three ways to look at it. Yes. Right. Right. So I forget who says it. It says that that's a flash for what's going to happen. It's the exact same event. And that now the Malach is just confirming that which the Torah told us 5 minutes ago. It's not that it's two pregnancies. It's the pregnancy which she experienced, and now the Malach is just confirming for everybody, yes, you are pregnant, and you're going to have a child, and you're going to call him Yishmael.
No, I didn't say that in a way for you to understand. When I said, I don't understand number two, meaning opinion two, that it doesn't really say it explicitly, just that you can infer it, because it does say it explicitly.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's a good question. Okay, I have to think about that. Good question. Good question. Let's continue. It's a good question.
I have another question.
Yeah?
Just in the English, the translation in Pasuk Yud Aleph for Inath Hara, on the English says, you will conceive.
Okay, that's following some Pashtanim who say that she has not yet conceived. So then you'll ask the Pah, what does it say before that she... Well, it's the same thing. It's one's giving us a little flash of what's going to happen. So, yeah. So now let's take a look at Rashi. We always start with Rashi. So Rashi is, of course, going to maintain his story that she was pregnant, but she lost the baby. So Rashi says in Yud Aleph Hinachara, Kishitashuvi Tahari. When you return to Sarah's house, you will get pregnant. Right now, she's not pregnant. It's only on condition that she's willing to return and become Shivcha unto Sarai. And it's very similar to Hinach Hara De'eshes Manoach. When the Malach, it's this week's Haftarah, so you can listen carefully to this week's Haftarah. And it says that the angel tells her, Hinach Hara, it doesn't mean that she is pregnant. It means that she will get pregnant in the very near future. In the very near future. Fine.
Is there a reason for all this? That's what I was bothered.
For what?
For Hagar giving birth to Ishmael.
Yes, as a reward for...
Beyond that, why in God's plan, why is there an Ishmael and a Hagar? I don't know. Ishmael has been our enemy.
I have no idea. In fact, we will see. That's going to be part of the description. Part of the description as to who he is will include the fact that he's going to torture us. That's what it says. You'll see.
Is that God's plan that there will always be someone to torture us?
Apparently. But again, it's hard for us to say that because we really believe that everybody has a choice what to do. Despite the fact that God thinks what's going to happen, we're not going to, we can't answer that question. Now, then the Torah tells us, Vikaras Shmo Yishmael. You shall call him Yishmael. And Rashi says, Sivuihu. This is not a good suggestion, but it's a command. You must call him Yishmael. You must call him Yishmael. Now, and it's just like when God tells Avram, you're going to have a child, and Sarai, but what does he say? V'karashimo Yitzchak. That's not an option. You have to call him Yitzchak. We will see later on that according to the Torah text, when Yishmael's born, she did not name him. Avraham named her Yishmael. We'll see how in the world that happened. There's going to be quite a bit of debate about that. That's going to be Rashi, had a Nevuah. Okay, but not everybody. Let's see. We'll get to that shortly. We'll get to that shortly. Yeah. So if you take a look for a second at, before we get to the Pera Adam business, look at page 99. There are several comments in Midrash and Parshanim about people who have been named by God. This is not the only person being named by God. So the Medrash says, Shisha nikru bishmotan ad shelo noldu. Six people were called by name even prior to being born. Yitzchak, Yishmael, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ushlomo, Yoshiyahu, Ushmo Shel Mashiach, Sheyavi HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mehera V'yameinu. Now, some of these we can confirm. Yitzchak Minayin, Shine Emar, we'll learn it in a couple of years, the next chapter. V'karas Eshemo Yitzchak. Okay, God said it, so he was before he was born. V'lama nikra shemo Yitzchak. Why? Because asara nisyonot shenitnasa Avraham Avinu. The yud is based on the fact that Avraham was tested 10 times. The tzadi is based on the fact tishim shana. Tzadi is 90. That is Shahaita Sarah Imenu Bat Tishim. Sarah was 90 years old when Yitzchak was born. The Chet is Lishmona Yamim Shenimol. he was circumcised at 8 days. Don't forget, the previous two people who were circumcised were 113. Yishmael was circumcised at 13. Yitzchak is the first person to be circumcised at 8 days old. And Kuf, Me'ashana Shahayel Avram Avinu. That Avram was 100 years old. Shene Emar, V'Avraham Ben Ma'as Shana. Avram was 100 years old. Now, you read this medrash, and what question would you ask on this medrash? What question would you ask? Yes.
Why do you have to say all of this when the pasuk says that she was laughing, and that's why?
Of course. We know why he was called Yitzchak, because Vatitzchak Sarah Bekirba Lemor. And truth is, not only she laughed, but who else was a little? Avram was also a little on the suspicious side that he's not necessarily having a child.
They didn't know that he was going to have a bris when they named him.
What?
They didn't know he was going to have a bris.
No, right, of course.
Right.
Right, but that's, of course, that's correct, you know. But the question we're, what's driving a when a medrash fills in the unknown, that I can hear a medrash speculating. And many times the Medrash does that because the text is so sparse and hardly ever gives us a lot of background information. So I can understand a Medrash trying to fill in some blanks. But where the Torah says, call him Yitzchak, why? Lama zet tzachaka sarah b'kirba leimar. And then it's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Well, similar to what Sylvia was saying, I think it creates more questions than it's answering. Like, there's no sparsing the text. Plus, it's assuming that everybody knew that Avram was going to live 100 years. There's so many difficulties saying all of this.
Of course. And I don't know, that's why look, sometimes I can identify what's bader the medrash. What's driving the medrash? Here, I can't understand what's driving this medrash to just write that he was. The point is that there were people who were named before they were born. Fine. But you don't have to go elaborate and make up things to coincide with his name. Yeah.
Why are you looking for a more pleasant name to have that name? Because Yishmael's name is a beautiful name. Yitzchak is like, maybe because you laughed.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Namely, that one of the jobs of the Midrash is to do what? To defend the Avot. I can't portray Avot in any negative fashion. And by Yitzchak being identified, because Sarah was laughing, or Avram was also laughing, that shows that they're not taking God very seriously. And I could have launched an attack against them. So if you present it in such a fashion, you somehow remove that potential criticism, and it happens to be, stated or unstated, one of the significant expressions of Midrash. Let's continue. What? They are, depends which Midrash. Most of them are in Tanaitic times. Some are post-Tanaitic, are in the early Gaonic time, 6th century, 7th century, so it's after the close of the Talmud, are authors of some of the Midrashim. But many of the Midrashim are authored by the Tanaim. We don't have Midrashim that are authored by Amoraic sages, so either it's Tanaim, skips the Amoraic age from about the 3rd century to the 6th century, and then it picks up again with 6th and 7th century scholars. They're the authors of most of the Midrashim.
Do we know how old Hagar was?
No. There's never a pasuk in Tanakh that tells us how old she was. We're lucky that we know her name. Because there's so many women that the Torah, for some reason, doesn't identify who they are, so that you're startled when it finally does. Right? When the Torah tells you who Aaron married, like, why do we have to know who he married? You know, we don't know anybody else, it's very strange. Anyhow, let's continue. Yishmael minayin, how do I know? Because it says, the pasuk we just read, V'karat Shmo Yishmael. V'loma nikro Yishmael. Now listen to this. Now, if I were to ask you right now, right, I'm going to give you a text. Why was he called Yishmael? What would you answer me? Good, because God heard her, what? His mother's crying in the desert. That's exactly it. And yet that's not what the Medrash is going to say. Answers the Medrash. She'atit HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishmoa Bikol Na'akata'am Mima She'asidin B'nei Yishmael Asot Ba'aretz Ba'acharit Hayamim. It's what's going to happen to Am Yisrael at the end of days when Yishmael, who ultimately became Edom or Rome and others, who according to Tanakh will attack us at the end of days, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond and overpower them and bring in the Messianic era. And again, I would ask the Medrash, what? Why did you have to inject into Yishmael's name something that's going to happen a couple of thousand years from now, when we know exactly the context of why it's called Yishmael? Kishoma Hashem et kol anya. God heard her affliction. That's the very simple. And here it's a little difficult to understand what is driving the Medrash to say it. It's as if it's uncomfortable to be told that God reacted to a shifcha prayer and at times ignored the pleas of Am Yisrael. There were many a times that Am Yisrael pleaded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before Acharit HaYamim, before the end of days. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, didn't. I can't imagine that during the Crusades, Jews didn't pray to God. I can't imagine that during the Shoah, thousands of people prayed to God. They did. So, again, you see a Medrash, and you don't always walk away from the Medrash, feeling very good about it. Please go to page... the number is off it. So it's the one right behind this one. Right behind number 99, Aaron Judge. This midrashic remark is made in the name, is written by Rabbeinu Bachya, who is a famous parshan, Bachya ibn Pekuda, on the Chumash. He was a student of the Ramban and was a great parshan. His works have been, scholarly editions have been released. There's an English translation of Bachya ibn Pekuda. So on the story of Bilam, this comment is being made about a comment that Bilam makes at the end of his monologue about Am Yisrael. And the pasuk reads, O mi yichyeh misumo el. Woe unto someone who lives misumo el. Says the Midrash cutely, not misumo, but just translated from a sin to a shin, shumo el. It's not correct Hebrew grammar, but what do you think it means? Shame el. Who named him? God. God who named him. Woe unto somebody who lives and God names him. So now continue where I bracketed. Omar Bilam, Mikol Shivim Lashon, Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo, amongst all of the 70 nations, that's always the number that we always think of, Shivim Lashon, 70 expressions, 70 nations, Lo Sam Shemo El Yisrael Uli Yishmael. God only placed part of His name in two nations, Yisrael and Yishmael, Shine'emar, Vikaras, Shmo, Yishmael. Vikavan Shehishve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmo Shel Yishmael, Shmo Shel Yisrael. And since God equated the name of Yisrael given to us and the name of Yishmael given to them, Oy mi yichye mishumoel, or misumoel. Woe is who lives. O mi yichye biyamav. Woe it will be unto one of the two who have been named by what? By God. Now, what do you think he's referring to? Why is it woe unto them? Because ultimately, there's only going to be one ale, one of them left. Symbolizing the fact that God is one, so too there will be one remnant with his name on it. And if you remember if you open up for a second to the last pasuk of Parshat Bishalach, it should be... the last pasuk of Parshas Bishalach. It's in Shmot chapter 17, at the very end. End of Bishalach. The very last pasuk of Parshas of Perek Yud Zayin of Shmot. We read this on Parshas Bishalach and Purim day in the morning. This is the Kriyas HaTorah of Purim. Ki Yad Al Kesya Milchama Lashem Ba'amalek Midor Dor. What happens here? We know that 8 psukim earlier it says Vayavo Amalek Vayilachem Im Yisrael Birifidim. Amalek attacks Rifidim in the city of Rifidim. He attacks Am Yisrael. Yehoshua is asked to lead the army, Bechar Lanu Anashim, and Moshe goes up on the mountain and puts his hands up, Videi Moshe Kvedim, and they put their 2 stones and so on and so forth. Very nice. So now this unit ends off, Vayomer Kiyad Al Kes Yah. The hand of God, Yad, in its context, in relationship to case. Case is interpreted by the Parshanim as kisei, missing an aleph. Yah is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, missing 2 letters. It's Yud Hei, Vav Hei, is the name of God. So what's happening here is that although Yehoshua defeats Amalek, Vayachalosh Yehoshua Amalek ve'atamal lefi charev, Yehoshua defeats them. Nonetheless, the Torah offers prophecy that what? That the battle with Amalek is not yet complete. And that Ein Kisei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalem Ad Sheyimacher Zaro Shel Amalek. Kiyad al kes yah. The extended hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be complete. His kisei will not be complete, nor will his name be complete until what? Until it's milchama l'ashem ba'amalek midor dor, from generation to generation. Yishmael is the progenitor of which nation with whom we quarrel in 3-4 parshios later. Who is Yishmael's descendant before Amalek? One name before Amalek. Esav, yes. It's Yishmael to Esav to Amalek. Amalek was one of his of Esav's children. So the Torah now is predicting, and the Medrash here tells us, the ultimate conflict will be to establish the name of God in this world. And ultimately, the war will be between one name of God, Yisrael, and Yishmael. One of them is going to be defeated. And when that defeat takes place, that's when the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Shalem. And in fact, the Rav always said in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that there are two mitzvot of the Torah which people have a lot of trouble relating to. Somebody once asked Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, what is the most difficult mitzvah that he think he would have to challenge? And the answer was, to kill Amalek. It would be very difficult for me to kill innocent children and, you know, people who are not soldiers, that I would have to kill them. That would be very difficult for me. But there are two mitzvot of the Torah. One is the seven nations, the Shiva Amamin. The Torah writes, Lo tichaye kol neshama. Don't allow not one soul for them to live. And the second one is Amalek, where the Torah writes, Macho timche et zecher mi Amalek mitachat hashamayim. So the Gemara in Brachot tells us that today there is no mitzvah applicable to killing anybody of the seven nations, the Kanani, the Knezi. Why? Because Sancheirev, the king of Assyria, Melech Ashur, bilbel et kol ha'umot. The way he gained control was a very smart military strategy. How did he do it? By moving people out of their country. If you move your people out of your country, you somehow will be able to be easily manipulated and controlled. Okay? So there's no, you don't know who a Kanani is, a Chiti. So that mitzvah is gone. Yet, when it comes to Amalek, Rambam doesn't tell us, or the Gemara, that Ukvar Avad Zichram, they're gone too. Rambam still thinks there's a mitzvah of killing Amalek today. The question is why? So the Rav answered, because Amalek is not a people. Amalek is an idea. Anybody whose goal in life is to eradicate Jews is defined by halakha as Amalek. Anybody. Makes no difference what your physical heritage is all about. So the battle of Amalek, which the Torah speaks of at the end of Parshas Bishalach, is exactly what this midrash is referring to. Two people have been named by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his name is intertwined in their names, Yishmael and Yisrael. And then at the end, says Bilam, as a measure of prophecy, Oy, mi yichye, who can possibly survive, Misumoel, whose name has been what? Given by God. How's it possible? Because one of you is what? Is guaranteed to be obliterated. So I don't know if I want to live my life knowing full well that I am going to be obliterated. Me and my family, you and your family, are going to be obliterated. But that's what this particular medrash has in mind, and highlighting the fact that yes, Yishmael was named by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't deny that. And this medrash has a very interesting perspective on that particular point. There is if you go to the last page, which it says on it, page 5, I think it says page 5, it's the Bnei Yisachar on the top. Maybe it's page 3. Yeah, it's page 3. It says the Bnei Yisachar on the top. Ubazetavin, top line. Hamalach amar lehagar v'karat shmo Yishmael ki shama Hashem el onyech. God heard your suffering. Hinei lefi hatam Hevel le likroto shma el. If you wanted to highlight the fact that this child is being named because God heard your crying, it should be in the past tense. Shama'el or Shma'el. Shekvar Shama. Because God had already heard her suffering. How do I know that God already heard her suffering? Because the angel's talking to her. That's the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to identify that he indeed is responding. Lo Yishma'el, which means what? If you read it, break it down. Yishma'el or Yishama'el in the future. Why is he called Yishma'el? Avlofia nal yitachen shenikra Yishma'el sha'al yado Yishma'el bechol zman ve'idan tza'akat Yisrael. Remember we saw before how someone had interpreted, one of the Midrashim interpreted on going forward. And we asked the question, why is it that you need a Midrash? It's perfectly understandable. Says the Bnei Yisachar, who was a great Hasidic master, says that because the tense is inappropriate. If it refers to Yishmael, Hagar being helped, his name should have been Shema'el. But if it says Yishmael, it means that God, just as He has responded to the suffering of this person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eventually respond to the suffering of Am Yisrael many times. Afilu imchas v'shalom lo yihiyu Reuyim lekach. Even though they may not be deserving of it, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will necessarily respond to our cries, despite the fact that we don't necessarily deserve it. Now, how does he know that? Okay, but think about where he's making this comment about Hagar. Think about Hagar and tell me how he comes to this conclusion about Am Yisrael using Hagar as the sample. Based on what we have been told about Hagar, what we've been told, bits and pieces, what piece of information in this unit did the Torah tell us about Hagar? It's the only piece. Yes.
She tortured Sarah.
She tortured Sarah. Now, just because she was privileged to get pregnant, just because she married Avraham, why should she have to ridicule and torture and annoy Sarai? Well, what license did she have? So she's far from what we call a tzaddik and pels. You know, he's far from it. She's far from that. And nonetheless, what happens? What happens? Right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to her. And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the exact same thing in the next time that she and Yishmael are banished. What does the Torah tell us? That why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu save Yishmael in the desert if he is what? Destined to become a pain in the neck to Am Yisrael for the rest of our lives. Because the Torah uses the expression Ba'asher hu Sham. At the time, Yishmael was a fine little kid. He didn't do anything terribly so wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't judge you now based on what? What's going to happen 20 years later. It's what you deserve right this minute. Right this minute. And that leads so many of the Balei HaMusar to tell us, that's the source of saying that, you know, during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, it's good to be Makpid on Chol of Yisrael. And not to do this. Then people ask the question, aren't you trying to fool? Isn't that silly? For 10 days, I'm not going to drink Chol of Akum. Milk produced without any Jewish supervision. Just relying on the government supervision. And then right after Yom Kippur, I'm going to drink Chol of Akum. Playing a game? Because the answer is, on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge you, Ba'asher Husham. So therefore, he claims that the name of Yishmael is named nothing to do with the saving of Hagar, because then his name should have been Shamael or Shmael. Based on Yishmael refers to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to us, despite the fact that we may not be as worthy of it, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to a Hagar who may not have been worthy of it based on her behavior. Let us continue with the name and significance of his name.
Doesn't that contradict what Rambam said about her burning Nevi'ah?
Why is that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Two different leaderships.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, okay, so we got Rambam one course. Okay. Yes. Says the Torah, Vehu Yihye Pera Adam Yado Bakol V'yad Kol Bo. He will be a Pera Adam. So in Yiddish we always translate him Avildekind, Avildekind, a wild guy, Avildechaya, that's right. His hand will be in everyone else's pot, V'yad Kol, and everyone else's hands will be in his pot. Va'al pnei kol echav yishkom, and he will dwell amongst all of his brothers. Okay, that's what the words. Let's take a look at Rashi, who we always start with, and then see how others interpret. Says Rashi, Pera Adam, Ohev midbarot, latsud chayot. He loves the desert life. And he loves to capture animals. Good, that's nice. We know that. How does the Torah describe Esav? Ish tzayid, right? Ish yodei tzayid, ish sadeh. Same thing. Kemoshe katuv vayeshev bamidbar vayehi rove kashat. He was dwelling in the desert, and his bow and arrow was nearby at his side at all times. Yado bakol means list in. He's a robber. He's a thug. V'yad kol bo, hakol son in oto. Everybody, not just Am Yisrael, everybody hates him. Umit garim bo, and they all chepper with him. Va'alpnei kol echav yishkon, and he will dwell amongst all of the peoples, shiyeh zar'o gadol. He will be plentiful and multiply and so on and so forth, and they will eventually be living amongst all of the peoples of the world. Some people say, you know, who want to read in biblical narrative into today's times, so they say that the Muslim world are now what? Moving into every land, to France and to England, and they're trying to establish, and this is the fulfillment of Al Pnei Kol Echav Yishkon. I'm not going to comment any further whether it is or it isn't. But take now, that's Rashi's interpretation. If you look for a second on page number 25, on the bottom, Sfarno, it's the first page in the packet. So he says, Perehu Chamor Habar. Chamor Habar is a wild donkey. A wild donkey. An untamed donkey. Omar, the Pasuk is telling us, Shiyeh Chamor Bimizgo. Mitzad Ho'aim Hamitzrit. Part of his genetic code is going to be like a wild, untamed donkey. Ke'omro al Mitzrayim, as it has been stated in Tehillim, or here it's Yecheskel, there's a similar pasuk in Tehillim, Asher Bisar Chamorim Bisaram, where their flesh is considered as if it would be what? Bisar Chamorim. Now, this phrase is not just used as a nice cute little phrase to degrade them. It's used halachically by a famous Tosafist in Masechet Sanhedrin in explaining how Esther could have had a relationship with Ahasuerus. How could she? Assuming that Esther was married to Mordechai. That's an assumption which the Midrash makes. Because when it says in Megillat Esther that Mordechai, Likacha lo Mordechai libat, exactly, says the Midrash, Rashi quotes it, not labat, but labayit. And bayit is the name that the Torah refers to as a wife. The An Yom Kippur v'chiper ba'ado uv'ad beito. The Kohen Gadol, his first statement of atonement is to seek forgiveness for him and his wife. V'chiper ba'ado uv'ad beito. So, one of the Balei HaTosafot and the Baal HaMo'or say that the relationship between a Jew and a Gentile is not considered arayot. Is not a violation of arayot. Because, and this is the pasuk they quote, asher basar chamorim bisaram. They're considered like nothing but, I'm just telling because you'd be shocked. But Tosfos rules, that's why Esther, and it has bearings on all other situations. Normally, for Gilui Arayos, it's one of the big three. What do you have to be willing to do? To give up your life. Yehoreg v'al yavar. According to Tosafot, if your oppressor is a Gentile, you don't have to give up your life. Only if it's a Jew. And they quote this pasuk. So it's not taken lightly by the Balei HaTosafot. But that's what Sforno says. It refers to this untamed animal in the desert. In the desert. Yes. Okay. Excellent question. How can she be comforted by being told that you can have this type of kid? Right? That question will be addressed. I don't know if I'll get to it today, but you'll remind me next week. We'll start with it. It's a very good question. Take a look at page number.
This donkey thing, it goes for both Gentile women and both?
Yes, that is correct. Go to page 14, which is behind number 25. That's Neil Walker's number. Because he hit a home run two nights ago also. I know. Only hit three homers, that's why, not four. If we hit four, we'd have been the only major league team in history to have hit four home runs in four consecutive games. I'm glad you're keeping up. Excellent. You just got an extra 10 points on your exam, the final exam. You didn't know that there's an exam when you came last week. Now, take a look at Chizkuni on the right-hand side of the page, Pera Adam, says Chizkuni, Tagar. What is Tagar? A business person. A peddler. Literally means a peddler. Holeich im sichorato ad lemerachot b'makom she'ein makirin oto. His lifestyle is going to be, the way he's going to earn money is being a pera adam. Just a peddler who will never have what? An opportunity to settle down. He's got to travel all across the world to places that have no idea who he is.
Who's he talking about?
Yishmael. Ki'inyan she'ne'emar. And he quotes the pasuk in Parshat Vayeshev, when the brothers sell Yosef initially to whom? Orchat Yishmaelim Ba'a Migilad. That he's coming from the city of Gilad. Who's coming? A caravan of Yishmaelim. Why is it caravan of Yishmaelim? Because that's what he did. He traveled all over the joint in order to make a living. In which case, it's not such a negative description. It's not the best thing in the world that you're not going to have the capacity to really settle roots in a particular community. But it's certainly not as negative as everybody else interprets him. Take a look at...
Because Tuni doesn't think he's a hunter.
No, absolutely not. He's not a hunter at all. He's a businessman. A traveling peddler. That's all he is. That's correct. If you look across the road, on the left-hand side of the page, Ibn Ezra, he writes, what does it mean? Chafshi bein ha'adam. What do you think it means? Chafshi bein ha'adam. What? Good. What some say he means that no matter what society he lives in, he refuses to abide by what? Whatever the rules, customs, and regulations of that name. Just free. Decides to live his own lifestyle and never conform to a particular community. Certainly not a very terribly positive description. But again, it's nothing to do with being compared to an animal, not a businessman, but it's a type of description of who he is, somebody who is not particularly fond of following rules and regulations. But again, pretty much a negative description. Then there's one other that I want you to look at. Yeah.
So that seems to be where he was living.
Yeah, it doesn't say where he's living. It just says that his personality is going to be wherever he lives. He's going to be chafshi, feeling that he's free, not tied down to anything that is going on in that wherever he's living. Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's good.
Why would God choose to call him that name? That I understand that it says, because God heard Hagar, but it just seems weird that he calls him that.
You're asking, why should Hashem put his name with a person who is going to live his life as a para adam? That's a good question. I've not seen anybody address that. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu associate his name with someone who's going to be described as a parada? That's a very good question. It's a very good question. Yes?
Maybe because it's Basher Hashem. He's putting his name there and being judged on Elisha.
Okay, but the Torah itself, 2 seconds later, is telling he's going to be a parada. You know, it seems to be a little incongruous. Oh, Shama Hashem Kolan, you supposed to be a Vildachai. You know, it's a little difficult. It's a good question. I think it's a very good question.
But if he goes back, is not then necessary to Vildachai.
Okay, that might be the reason why Sparno said that she's just a Chiskuni. He's a businessman. He's traveling all over the place. That might have been what pushed him to disagree with almost everybody else who paints it as a negative description. That's very possible.
There's a parallel with Cain, right? Nabonad, like the wandering.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's true. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue next Devach. Okay.